طيب it's good to be back again. If you wonder where I was Friday night, we were speaking, preaching and teaching to the church and fellowshipping with the fellowship in Kirkland. It's good to see Sister Tanberg in the service this morning. God bless you, sister. Praise the name of Jesus. I believe that God has his hand upon his people, upon his church. I believe that God's designs and God's plans will come to pass. We may go through some unnecessary valleys and labors, but God will get us there. We may have to take a long cut down to the bottom of the sea, but God's going to get us there. Praise the name of the Lord. And if we are wise in God, we can not have to take all those unnecessary paths and move straight into the promised land. This is the sixth of a series entitled True Death with Him. I feel to continue the series that I was on. I have many message starters in my heart coming back from vacation. I have a very many different messages, just titles and short pieces of information for messages. We're bringing these as the Lord lives, and I'm going to continue this series on Sunday morning for a while yet. This particular subtitle of this message is The Cross of Christ. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 11 is the text. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Now the Apostle Paul was saying this. There are some abroad that are alleging that circumcision must be continued after the law of Moses in this new dispensation. They are arguing that we must keep the Sabbath day and we must be circumcised and keep the feasts and the new moons, not knowing that these things have been fulfilled in Christ and they are but a shadow of things to come. Now, apparently, they are using the recent example of Paul circumcising Timothy that he might be able to get him into a synagogue and they'll preach that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, although he admits in his epistle that neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything. But if a man be circumcised to keep the law, then he is a debtor to the whole law, and he's fallen from grace. But the Apostle Paul is saying that some, for their own ends, are alleging that even Paul recognizes and has to admit that circumcision is necessary, and he circumcised Timothy, and they're trying to, for their own ends, bring in circumcision. Now, the Apostle Paul is refuting this. He is saying that if I preach circumcision, then why do I yet suffer persecution of the Jews? The reason they're persecuting me is that I am refusing to continue in the law of Moses and to do all the types and the shadows that I understand to be fulfilled, but they don't. And they are persecuting me on this ground. But he says, I do not preach circumcision after the flesh, but after the Spirit, even the spiritual circumcision made in the baptism, where we are putting off the sins of the flesh through faith in the operation of God and the Spirit of God working in us. Now, he said, if I preach circumcision, then the offense of the cross would cease. Because I wouldn't be preaching the cross. Because the cross tells us that the law was insufficient, although it was good, it was proper, it was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It was sufficient in itself to save man, and man could not by the law be justified, although Christ was, but no one else could in their position. They could not, and therefore the cross shows that God sent his only begotten Son to be a propitiation for us, to be a covering, to be an atonement, to make the reconciliation between God and man, that we have by the blood of his cross, we have this reconciliation and atonement. And the cross shows us that it's God's love and mercy because man could not walk and fulfill the law. And therefore he is telling us that the cross shows us that I have left circumcision and these other things and have moved in not to the law but by the Spirit. But if I indeed preach circumcision, the offense of the cross would cease and I'd quit offending these Judaizers that are trying to continue in the law of Moses after being brought into the liberty and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, my message is that the cross of Christ is an offense. It is an offense to the world, and it still is an offense. In fact, it is an offense to many Christians today, but should not be. The Romanists, in fact, the offense was so great that early in the church's history, the Romanists changed the cross to be a golden, bejeweled, ornate, good luck charm. They have made it ornate and beautiful and walked and held it up as some great, glorious thing. When the cross was an offense to the flesh of man, it was a torture instrument for criminals. It means humiliation. It means surrender of self, loss of all self-esteem. It means suffering. It means denial of self. It means to be held to infamy. It means to, it's a loss. It isn't some beautiful, ornate, jeweled, silver, gold, good luck charm, my friend. It is a torture instrument to the flesh. Now, people want to go to heaven, but they are not willing to go by the way of the cross. But the way of the cross is necessary. In the book of Matthew, chapter 10, and verse 38, we read these words concerning the cross. Matthew 10, 38. Jesus said, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Well, that just means to follow him and get all the love and the blessings. No. The next verse says, "He that findeth his life shall lose it." And that's what a cross is all about. It's to lose your own life. "And he that loses his life," that's what the cross is about, on the cross, "for my sake shall find it." Christ lost his life and found it. And we lose our life and find it. We are crucified with him. We take up our cross and follow him as an example. The cross is an offense because it condemns the world of its sin. It strips man of all his self-righteousness. Because if man could earn heaven by his own good works and by following the law, there would be no need for the cross. That was a horrible price to pay. The cross only shows that only God's grace will suffice to save man, or he would never have instituted the cross being the way for the Son of God to go. But the cross cuts across man's pride, who wants to think himself sufficient, and it becomes an offense unto him. Man prefers circumcision to the grace of God because then he can feel that he has done something. Man prefers his Hail Marys because if I can say 20,000 Hail Marys in my day, then maybe I have earned something. I have done something. I have atoned for my sins. Man prefers pilgrimages. If I can go on long, austere pilgrimages, then I can feel like that I have given something for God. But God's grace doesn't allow you to give that to earn anything. Man prefers celibacy. If I can go without a woman all the days of my life and through the wiggles, then I can say, Lord, I have denied myself for you. Surely it's worth something to you. See? Man feels he's got to have his lance. If I can deny myself at Lent, then I can feel like that I've atoned. Because if I sin and then get all this wonderful grace, it just doesn't seem, I just can't really believe that I'm all right. I haven't done anything. I haven't paid anything. I'm not used to getting something for nothing. Can't stand it. I can't quite believe in it. Must be a gimmick somewhere. Man prefers austerities, monkeries, laying for hours in the shape of a cross on the floor, going through all kinds of austere. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do that. Ask some people, what do you believe? Well, we don't smoke. We don't chew. We don't drink. We don't take dope. We don't paint our eyelashes. We don't paint our cheeks. We don't paint our lips. We don't show our tootsies. We don't show our elbows. We don't do this. We don't. They're all full of don'ts. They've forgotten this is a life in Jesus. I'm not saying you should do everything in the world. That's not what I'm saying. But some people get locked in spinning soul self-flashes because they don't do some things. Well, I don't kill anybody. Well, I don't murder. Well, I don't commit adultery. That doesn't make you righteous. Man prefers donations to good causes. He feels he's got to do things. He's got to live austere. Well, I don't smile or have any of this. Well, I don't do this. Well, I don't play tennis on Sunday. Well, I don't do this. My friend, you can get yourself so bogged down and wrapped up and twisted up and into a corner and narrow-minded. And I'm not talking about imbibing the sins of the world and carelessness. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an attitude in which you think that anything in the world you do and don't do sets you up in a good place. My friend, you need the grace of God and you're never going to reach it. I don't care what you do or don't do. It isn't how long you pray. It isn't how much you preach your praise in tongues. It isn't how much you testify, how many ministries you carry, how long you work. My friend, it's the Jesus Christ dying for you on the cross of Calvary that's going to count, and that alone. Amen. The Bible says in Revelation, when you see the saints in heaven, they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And their testimony wasn't all what I did. It was by the blood of the Lamb, he saved my soul, and it's only simple faith in Jesus Christ. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Man's got to feel that he's done something to merit something. You see, man is skeptical of free seminars. If you have seminars and they're free, a lot of people won't come. They don't think it can't amount to too much. It's free. If it's $35, if you charge $35 for your seminar, you'll get more people than if you give it free. They think it might be worth something if you charge a little bit something. Low-priced professional services, they're just very skeptical of. And often right in this world. Often right, you know. They just can't believe in something for nothing. And in the world, they're generally right. But with God, they're terribly wrong. So what they're doing is trying to judge God by the world standard. Because the world doesn't give you something for nothing. They assume God doesn't. In Isaiah 55:1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, too bad for you, bud. No, that's not what he says. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. So insistent is man to earn his own way to heaven. I'm going to tell you now, this is a psychological thing born in the breast of man and pushed continually by the devil. Amen. And I don't care what walk of life you're in, the devil's beating on you, and there's something locked in the human frame that thinks that he's going to earn his way to heaven. Even if he believes in grace, he's still trying to earn his way to heaven off of the side some way. Amen. And it's one of the strongest compelling forces there is, and it's locked up in the word called pride. Even the charismatics have allowed the old serpent to talk them into a philosophy and a doctrine that everything is just love. You don't have to suffer if you have faith. And this is being taught all the time. You Christians don't have to suffer. Well, bless God, I don't suffer. I believe God's people should have the best. I mean, I ride a Cadillac. I have a Mark IV. I just lay my hands on it, and everything I want, I take the best for God. I don't believe in laying my hands on Fords. I lay them on Mark IVs and Cadillacs, and I lay them on Rolls Royce and Bentleys. In the name of Jesus, I claim the best. I claim mansions. I claim this. I have hotels down the strip. I wear the best sharkskin suits you can wear. I don't believe in fooling around with these old, you know, half wool, half polyester jobs. I mean, I believe God's children go all the best. God gives 100 times more. I believe in 100 times more, not double more. Amen. Everything. You don't have to suffer. According to faith, it's so be it unto you, and I have my faith. And God wants to bless his people. And they get off. They have forgot the way of the cross. Amen. Absolutely forgot it. And if you don't get locked into that one, then on the other side, oh, bless God. I've only got one shoe. Woo! Glory. One pair of shoes. And I've got one suit only. Woo! Glory, one suit of threadbare. Hallelujah, my wife patches it every week. See? So righteous, you can hardly stand it. See? I'm earning my way to heaven by one suit. See? And the other man, he thinks he's got no crosses to bear. You don't have to have crosses. That's an old-fashioned thing, this long-faced religion. I'll be happy and jump with joy. Everything's good. They have forgot that in this world you shall have tribulation. They forgot all those scriptures that Jesus put in, and they weeded them out because it's not popular, this modern sugar-coated religion. Amen. People don't want any crosses, so they've taken the cross out for man. Amen. But I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, blessing, glory, joy unspeakable and full of glory in the cross too. Amen. I believe in preaching the whole counsel of the Word of God. Amen. And so they say that the new theme is blessing, not suffering. How much suffering do you hear on the radio by charismatic preachers? How many of them are preaching, in this world you shall have tribulation? The servant is not greater than his master. Not very many. Not very many. It's all blessing packed. How much blessing you can get. Everything is blessing, blessing, blessing. It's all wrapped up in a huge blessing. Because, so you're sending money to get more money. Money, 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 money. Blessing, 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 blessing. Until they, God is nothing but a big Santa Claus. And this is supposed to be heaven right down here. They have forgotten. They have forgotten all about the way of the cross. Amen. They have no cross anymore. And then they have to find a cross someplace. So they find it. They find it in a sickness and unbelief. And instead of having God, trusting God for healing, they'll get a sickness. And oh, praise God, they're so happy for that sickness. They can hardly stand it. Now they get a cross. Oh, this is the cross that God wants me to bear. Like the thorn in Paul's side, if he wants me to go on this way for life, I'll go on this way. I'll suffer for him. They've got something now. They've got a cross. Because it's easier for man and more palatable to take a little physical cross than to take a spiritual cross. And then they can go ahead and they don't have to be willing in the whole heart. They can be Pharisaic. They can be critical. They can be judgmental. They can be low on faith. They can be low in the glory and praise of God. They don't have to aspire to a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. They don't have to give themselves totally. They can all be externally giving themselves like Pharisees. And then they got their cross. They wouldn't give up that sickness for anything. And that's the truth. A lot of people are like that. It's a subtle thing the devil will bring in. And they don't even realize they're doing it, many of them, most of them. This psychosomatic sweet gospel and everything is blessing. It's just a symptom of our spiritual softness and our lack of dedication and willingness to suffer for the name of Jesus and carelessness with the Word of God. I fast thrice in the week and give tithes of all that I possess, the self-righteous Pharisee says. Well, I fast 3 times a week, which only shows you how short his fasts are. See? And I give tithes of everything. And I keep the Sabbath. Don't go beyond the Sabbath day, Junior. I don't carry over the weight of one dried fig. See? And I don't gargle my throat with vinegar. If I got a sore throat on the Sabbath, I drink it. No, they did that. They couldn't gargle it. It's medicine, but they could drink it. That's food. Well, I pray to Allah facing Mecca thrice daily, make annual pilgrimages there. I observe the ordinances of Islam. I fight against all who will not serve Allah, the Muhammad had said. He's got his way of earning his way into heaven. I acknowledge the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church, Mary, the Mother of God, and the Trinity. I attend Mass every Lord's Day, confess to my priest, do penance, pray for the dead, and abstain from meats on Fridays, and do self-denials on Lent, the Roman Catholic says. A works religion to heaven. I believe in the Book of Mormon and the Pearl of Great Price and the Bible as far as it has been translated correctly, and Joseph Smith and the 12 apostles of the Mormon Church. I've been baptized many times for the dead. I don't smoke or drink alcohol or coffee. I have been married in the church for eternity, wear my secret cloth, and try to follow the book of the Doctrine of the Covenants, the Mormon says. And that's his path to heaven, the Doctrine of Works. I believe that Jesus was the world's greatest teacher, one of many Savior Christs, a great medium. I believe every man is divine. I am God in embryo. I believe in myself. No Savior, no religion can bring freedom. I take myself in hand and follow truth. I communicate with the dead in the spirit world of those gone before. There's no hell and no heaven and peace but what we make ourselves, the spiritualist says. And his heaven is what he makes for himself by taking himself in hand, and he has, again, a doctrine of works. I practice mind over matter, recognizing that there's no sin and no hell and no sickness, therefore I have truth, the Christian Scientist says. And so it's a matter of I practice mind over matter. It's my mind over matter that brings me, that's his salvation, that's his life. I remain faithful to Jehovah, selling books on truth and witnessing from door to door that all denominations and churches are cults, and that to escape Armageddon and live on the renovated earth, one must also become a Jehovah Witness by proving to be the kind of person Jehovah would want in his new kingdom. There is no heaven except for the 144,000 elect, no eternal hell, no born-again salvation experience. Jesus is a God, one of many, but he's not Jehovah. Our salvation is our efforts to live acceptable to Jehovah God and bring others in so they'll live like Jehovah God wants them on the new millennial earth. That's what the Jehovah Witness salvation involves. It's living a life acceptable to what Jehovah God would want, which means a self-life, a self-made life of works. I seek through many reincarnations to end the regeneration, transform my body into a perpetual healthy and therefore immortal state through prayers and affirmations, no, prayers of affirmations, that's the only prayers they've got, to the Father, Mother, Creator mind. I have no dogmatic rule of faith, those of the Unity School say, and so through many reincarnations, they transform their own body by a self-effort into a healthy state, therefore to keep on living, and they only make affirmations, and it's only as it works, as they believe in this Father, Mother, Creative Mind, abstract God, but they themselves are going through processes, and through their much works and processes, there's their salvation. In every one of these, you see that the cross has been denied and is taking their own self-effort somehow to make it. Amen. I seek through secret enlightened mysteries and seven reincarnations, through the physical body, the ethical double, the astral body, the mental body, the cosmical body, the future body, to reach the perfected body by digging deep down inside myself to find God, the divine principle within, and by sacrifice and self-imposed humiliations to reach nirvana, the theosophist says. And though again looking inside to find something inside and through all the humiliations and everything else and sacrifices, he's somehow going to reach that heavenly state. And on it goes through every cult, every religion, everything all down the line. Man is seeking heaven by works, self-denials, but the cross remains an offense unto him. Even the Christian world that names the name of Christ, go to their churches every Sunday out here in all the various denominations through America, are fond of defending their ticket to heaven by saying, well, I go to church regularly. Well, I'm a confirmed member of St. Anne's Church. I don't drink excessively, and I don't kill or commit adultery. Well, I'm as good as the next man. Well, I try to maintain the status quo. I believe in God in Christ. Well, I was baptized as a baby for my salvation. I believe that if one is sincere, that's what counts. Well, I try to keep the Ten Commandments. I give to the church and the Red Cross and so forth. Well, love's the important thing. Well, I've got faith in God. And the cross is not the way that they have designed to follow. Oh, I believe in the cross. We have it in front of our church. We have it on a little wafer we put on our tongue. We have it in front of our hymnals. I wear one around my neck. But the life is not the way of the cross.
they don't take up the cross and follow him. In the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20, if you turn there, please. I am crucified with Christ. Now I know that there's a good brother who's around preaching. He can't seem to stand this doctrine of crucifixion. And he preaches to crowds. I've heard him several times. He's a wonderful brother. He's a sweet spirit. But he's confused in this area, I feel. But he says he's always hitting against crucifixion. He says, well, okay, you'll put one hand up and you'll nail that nail in that hand. And how are you going to nail the other hand up? We're not talking about nailing ourselves to boards. You ought to know that we're talking about spiritually. Take up your cross. He's not talking about making a wooden cross and following him with on your back. I am crucified with Christ. What does that mean? He didn't mean that he got up in the well with Jesus Christ and Calvary nailed his hands up there. The Romans did it. We're not talking about hands. We're talking about that which Jesus was talking about. Denying not peanuts on Lent. Not hamburger on Friday. Not denying good food and health. Not denying ourselves a game of tennis for Jesus' sake. Just on Sunday or something. We're talking about putting God first, the kingdom of heaven first. Denying of flesh the things that were not convenient, things that are sin, pleasures that we would like to just live unto ourselves instead of to God. We're willing to deny and sacrifice and spend for the ministry, for God to burn us at all for the Lord, so to speak, to put ourselves out in the harvest field and work for him. When sure we'd rather be sailboating on the Sound and laying in the hammock drinking lemonade, but souls are out there and we've got a work to do. We're willing to live below the way we could be up in Hollywood, some of them making big money singing in music. But we'll count those things as dung, as nothing, and that we despise the riches of Egypt because we're looking for a city which has foundations, whose heaven and building and maker is God. We'll have our treasures up on the other side. The heaven is not here. We're looking for that city. This life is a schooling process. It's a ministry. It's a building. It's a becoming. And we're willing to pay the price now that we might have heaven there and satisfy God's heart and rescue God's people from them. And so we deny ourselves a life here by making this our home because we've got another home. Our citizenship is someplace else. And so we put off those things we would rather do and we seek God. We put him first. We take slaps on the cheeks. We take people cutting us down. Because it's not good for us to let the ego soar and to smash him back. It's not God's way. We deny ourselves those things. We don't go through penitence and all these things to appease an angry God. He's a God that loves us. We don't do these things to become righteous. We're not one whit righteous. More righteous after not doing some things than before or otherwise. Righteousness is a positive thing in a heart and a relationship and a piety and a love towards God and the people of God. And so all taking up our cross and following him is a way of coming up and obeying everything that God puts up in front of us. And there are some crosses and some losses and there are some difficulties, there are some things ahead. But we say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And if it's thy will, Lord, it's not his will we quit eating peanuts. It's his will that we do this. And so we do it. He didn't want us to waste our time. He didn't want us to crucify ourselves every year like one fellow does in the Philippines. He didn't want us to crawl on broken glass, throw our babies to the alligators like the Hindus. Throw our babies off the cliff like the Hawaiians did. He doesn't want us to go lay hours on the floor in the form of a cross like Martin Luther did. He doesn't want us to go through all these kind of austerities and go up in the hills and be alone like the monks did. He didn't want us to waste our time and denying ourselves four suits and kneeling in mud puddles to show our humility. He wants us to do loving things, real things, practical things, life-giving things, and walk with God in the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the rest of those are not doing that way, but they're crucifixions. These crucifixions is letting Christ live in us instead of ourselves. And the life which I now live, I live in the Spirit. Led of the Spirit, not works of the flesh.
the Spirit instead of works of the flesh. That's where the self-denial of flesh is. We come up and remain in the Spirit and begin to walk in the Spirit. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Chapter 3 and verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? You didn't begin in the flesh. You didn't get saved by the flesh. You didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost by the flesh. You didn't get healed by the flesh. You didn't move out and start and have the joy unspeakable in the flesh. How can you now take the flesh then and become perfected? The flesh is not higher than the Spirit. You couldn't do anything with the flesh. You had to start with the Spirit, and He took you just as you were, and you're going to finish by the Spirit if you're going to get there. Have you suffered so many things in vain? Yet it be in vain. Verse 11, 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? By faith, of course. Verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For if the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now there are Christians that when they hear these words preach, it's an offense to them. They squeeze up inside. Oh, there he goes. There he goes. On the... This is God's word, my friend. If you have to squeeze up at God's word, your doctrine is haywire. You should delight in God's word. Well, why don't we get over to the other chapter? Oh, you got chapters against chapters? You got something wrong with preaching one chapter, do you? No, I believe in doing good works. God tells you, do your good works that your Father may be glorified in heaven. But good works is not the road of salvation. It's not your righteousness. It's not your justification. It's the trailer that follows faith. It automatically is the accompaniment. It's the proof that you've got faith. For faith without works is dead. Some people are all scared of works. The devil's got them in one ditch or the other. Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth upon a tree. He became the curse for us. He hung on the tree for us. Chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever are justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit that caused Christ to be crucified was a spirit of religious intolerance towards truth, because we should be religiously intolerant towards the devil's religions, and closed-mindedness to the truths of God, and spiritual traditional worship, traditions, deep-rooted, seated in traditions. And political expediencies and popularities and commercial gain. See, all these things ran counter to Christ, and they had to get rid of him. It was ruining their commercial gain. And their pleasure-loving irresponsibility. And their unfaithfulness to God. And their public and personal apathy. The mob spirit, militarism and power-seeking. Satanism, the Antichrist spirit. Pride and self-esteem. And I want to submit that this spirit is still with us today. Amen. These various spirits are still with us. And the cross is an offense to it. Who crucified Christ? Pontius Pilate, who shut his eyes to the truth. He shut his eyes to wrongdoing for political peace. Crucified Christ. The self-righteous Pharisee crucified him. Because he was implicated by Christ, and he was following his own traditions. The high priest crucified Christ because he feared loss of power and prestige. The Sadducees crucified Christ because they inherited wealth and financial and political and commercial privileges when hobnobbing with Rome. Herod Antipas crucified Christ because he was power hungry, compromising, coward, sin loving. Judas Iscariot crucified Christ because he was a disillusioned disciple, an idealist whose faith floundered because his faith rested on the external now. If he could see it, and when Christ was a hero and things were rising, he was right there. But when Christ began to talk about the cross, and he began to be disillusioned, and money began to loom up, and he wasn't willing to cast in with a loser, and he crucified him. The mobs crucified him because they were blind followers of the blind and lovers of sin. The soldiers crucified him because they were men who blindly looked up to whatever system they were born in and followed it to the letter. And I want to submit that these men who crucified Christ as to the spirit and principle are still with us today, even in Christianity. We still have the self-righteous Pharisees. We still have the political compromisers. We still got those for power and prestige, and those who are financial and commercial gain and power-hungry and sin-loving, and the cowards and the disillusioned disciples, and the ones who just look for the external and just now, and the blind found. We got all of them right here, still with us today, even in the church. The cross is an offense. God's method of redeeming man hurt man's pride. He couldn't take it. Puny little man had his pride hurt by God. So he wanted to kill him, get rid of him. But this was necessary because man's self-esteem must go because it's a lie. Big, wonderful man didn't exist. It was a lie. God's method was a cross, and it leveled all of man's artificial distinctions and artificial elevations and artificial ranks and castes that man had set. God's cross just came and cut right across all of them and became an offense to man because of it. And the cross cut across man's chief concept that might makes right. Might makes right has been honored by the nations from the beginning of time. That's the philosophy of the empire. When Medo-Persia took over Babylon by might, they would serve them. Alexander the Great took over by might, recognized the Grecian Empire. My, how the world today has bragged on the Grecian Empire. The Hellenistic period, the arts and the cultures, great Greece. You read world history about Greece. They don't slam it. No, it's held up as some great, beautiful, wonderful culture by a egotist named Alexander the Great, who was a sorcerer, believed that he was born of God and his mother, hated his father, Philip, and tried to run him through with a sword when he was drunk, went out in a drunken orgy with harlots and burned the beautiful palace of Persephone, caused his men to rape the landscape and the men and the women and the homes and the lives of people, a debauched drunkard, drank himself to death still in his 20s. My, he's the great, Alexander the Great. Military genius in hell. Debauched, miserable creature, the hero of Napoleon. And men have made those men their heroes. Even the United States, when a communist nation, which is Antichrist, subjugating the globe, promising we will bury you, they come in to fight against the nation, and they come in to subvert and through all kinds of lies and undermining to take over, and we come as big brother to the aid of the other nation. But when the communist plow, steamroller rolls over it, we honor and accept and acknowledge the aggressor. Might makes right. We take them into the United Nations as a legitimate nation because they have overcome the weaker one. And we take sides with Red China against nationalist China. And we recognize North Vietnam, we've been fighting all these years, as a legitimate government. And we give the big Russian bear the position of the favored nation status after having murdered millions, after having treated people abominably after World War II, coming through, murdering, killing, raping, after having slaughtered tens of millions, we give them an honored nation status. And we recognize every country that finally gains political end over somebody else. Might makes right. We accept that. Duels in old England. You dishonored my name and my word. We'll fight you a duel. Go out, and it becomes legal to have a battle to kill and to murder somebody else. And whoever can outfence the other one is honored. It's not who's right. It's who's the best swordsman. You're going to find out who's right. Get your swords out. Yeah, decide who's right. Who's morally right? Who was truthful? Should it have been said? Get the swords out and we'll prove it. Man's still doing that today. Oh, yeah? You want to fight about it? Yeah. Cannot argue him, so beat him up. I'm bigger and tougher than you. I've had experience in the martial arts. Therefore, I'm going to take my fist, these hands God gave me, bones, and I'm going to slam these bones, smashing into your face, break the bridge of your nose, and bloody up your face. I'm going to hit my bones against you because I am mad, because I can't out-argue you. Because you hurt my pride. Because you said truth about me that I hate to hear. I don't want to hear those things. Because I don't know the answers. Because I don't know the answers. When I don't know the answers, get mad. If they tell truth about you, get mad. If they catch you in a lie, get mad and accuse them and attack them back. A lot of the police officers will tell you, if you ever catch somebody having stolen something, they go get angry against them when the other one is guilty. See? And they will fight and beat up the other person. Might is the God. Might makes right. The cross cuts across all those concepts. Amen. The cross is despised because it appears to be weak. It appears to be defeat. Weakness itself. Let him hang upon a cross. Peter said, Lord, I'll go with you to death. He had a sword. He was willing to fight to the death. That's what he was. He told him, I'll go with you to death. He had the sword. He figured it for that purpose. Here they came to take him. They were a big crowd. There's no way they could defeat him. They only had a very few swords among them. And here they came, this great crowd. And there would be, there's a whole Roman Empire behind them. And the whole Jewish nation. There was no way except in going down in defeat. He was willing to fight for the cause. He took the sword. Here come up Malchus. He come up and he took the high priest of it. And he took a whack right across his head. And he dodged it a bit and clipped his heel. He wasn't just one of the fancy swordsmen of the 15th century. See? He wasn't doing that. These were heavy Roman type swords. They weren't little fencing tools. He was a fisherman. Man's not going to stand there while he clipped his ear off. He took a whack right across him. He thought that's what he was going to go down fighting is what he was trying to do. He just said, God didn't let him cut him in two. And he said, put your sword up. You don't know what spirit you have. That isn't what we're doing around here. But then, when Jesus gave himself up, he couldn't take it. He wasn't willing to stand there. He wasn't willing to be put on that pail in that post. He saw the end and he ran. He fled. Even left one man who went out without his clothes, the guy holding his cloak. He had clothes under it, but went out and he left him. They all took off and fled, every one of them. They were not willing to go the way of the cross. He says, can you drink of the cup that I drink of? Go the way of the cross? He says, oh yeah, sure, we can, Lord. I'll go with you through the garden, we'll sing. No, you won't go with him. You won't go with him through anything. You'll haul off and quit the whole church if an elder balls you out because you're wrong. What's this going with him through the garden business? Oh, I'll go with him through the garden, Jesus. Yes, Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God. And then somebody says, Sister Brown, call me an old father. God, I'm going to quit. I'm not going to hang around here. I still got a woman writing me hate letters all the time because we corrected her once. She is pouring forth a vehement stream. She can't rest day and night. She's in the gall of bitterness because she was corrected once. And constantly, constantly just agitating, being torn up inside. My friend, that's not going through the way of the cross. Yeah. To win, we want to do like the other sons of thunder. Call down fire out of heaven on them. Now, you know, let's be honest with ourselves. You know, and I know, that you know,
that if we will God, there'll be a lot of lightning flashing all over the earth and thunder rolling, a lot of things happening. Now you know it. And I know it. And I know that I know that I know it. Sure. I'd be the father of thunder, I think. It's in man that way. Can't stand that. Boy, if I were God, I wouldn't let that happen. I'd smash him. Sure. Wouldn't you? Would you let that go on? No, you wouldn't. We're all sons of thunder. Let's don't be pointing a finger at those two. We're still sons of thunder. Until God gets us peaceable and gentle and let him know that God is judge. He says, I will repay. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Vengeance is not yours. We never have the concept of loving him into it, not unless we come under the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the only thing that will cause us to love people into the kingdom. You'll never do it on your own, believe me. Jesus prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup, that is the way of his cross, pass from me. But it was not possible. There was no other way. And there is no other way. Take up your cross and follow me, Jesus said. I die daily, buried with Christ in baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. Reckon yourself dead unto sin and alive unto God. Not I, but Christ. Lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset you from running this race with patience. Despise the disciple who is not greater than his master. And remember those scriptures and link them with, and not apart from salvation, if not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the grace of God. You see, and I close with these statements, it's not how good have I been doing lately. It's how good has Jesus been doing lately that will keep you going on. And we are trusting in his love, and we're trusting in his promises, and we're trusting in his power, and we are keeping in tune with him through the Spirit, along with how good has been Jesus been doing lately. So you've got to have both arms of the truth, not self-effort. It's not, is everything going my way in life? But is everything going God's way in my life? That's the important thing. This is what Christians are messing up, their life. It's not to see how much blessing that I can use power and miracles of God to get for me, but it's rather to see how much blessing I can bring to God by having faith in his power and gifts. But today it's all turned around. It's not the way of the cross. How much blessing can I get by using power? Is everything going my way? It's not how big of an impact can I make on man and the church and the world and how big of a crowd I can gather by my conciliatory actions. No, it's how diligent and faithful I am to preach God's truth in love, to get God's creation to love and honor and to follow him with all spiritual diligence. That's what God's calling us. It's not how big of crowds I can get and how much popularity if I just kind of drop and compromise. No, it's diligence in preaching what God said to preach, to get God's people to where he wants them. In other words, this life and this ministry is not for us but God. Our heaven is later. Please remember that. Please remember that. Our heaven is later. The only heaven we're really allowed to have down here is the spiritual heaven. Inside is spirit within us. Now there's some rocks in a weary land to put shade to get shade under, and there's some towers we can run into and be saved, and there's some rivers of water to quench your thirst at, and there's some bread to eat and be strengthened, and there's even some wine of rejoicing. But our heaven is still there. We're still pilgrims looking for that city. This life is the way of the cross, as Christ, our example, showed us and told us. He that taketh not up his cross and followeth me is not worthy to be my disciple. It's by the way of the cross, through much tribulation, you shall inherit the kingdom of God. Be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. Quit yourselves like men, which means don't quit. Pray always. You may be counted worthy to escape all these things that are about to come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Don't get all hooked on blessing for self and how big an impact you can make, but do get hooked on blessing for God and how much you can be true and diligent and faithful unto Him in all righteousness, allowing God to be judge. Don't get critical. Don't bring your self-esteem. Don't get into austerities and monkishness, but do surrender your life to God. Flee sin, walk in the Spirit, and rejoice in Him, and work toward God's end. Don't try to build God's kingdom yourself, but trust God to build His own kingdom and be willing to be a part in it as God would have it to be. Would you stand, please?